We handle it for them. We take the application. We do the presentation. We communicate with the client. We do the underwriting. We do the policy deliver when it's ended. We do an 80-20 split with the advisor. That's how we're able to position ourselves as the expert, but we're also able to make a little bit of revenue on our side, but give the advisor a full 80% of the compensation without them having to really do more than just refer the client to us.
I'm Garrett Lale. Welcome to the Advisor Advocates Podcast, bringing the latest industry trends and best practices to financial advisors from leaders of the top firms in the financial services industry.
Thanks for being here with me today, man. For listeners and viewers, Kip Kaiser joins me today on the show. He is the co-founder and director of insurance and advanced planning with Sage Insurance Partners. Had a pleasure of meeting you last fall. I was in Charlotte meeting with Independent Advisor Alliance, which I know is a close relationship of yours as well. And we had a chance to meet there. And I was just saying before we hit the record button here, I enjoyed just listening to, I think you gave a little 10-15 minute spiel of what you do. And you just kind of had that air to you of a guy I'd love to have a beer with sometime, you know. So I thought, man, he'll be fun to have on the show. So thanks for joining me, man. Excited for this.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
So wanted to kind of get started here. You have Sage Insurance Partners has a very unique value proposition for advisors out there, and you're uniquely positioned with some alliances and really good relationships, but also you stand alone where you have a lot of independence and can work with a lot of different independent advisors. So wanted to just kind of start off, and it's dealer's choice here. I'd love to know more about your background in the industry and share with the listeners why they should bother listening to what you have to say, but also want to hear the Sage story in your words, because I know it's a pretty cool one.
Well, I appreciate it, Garrett. Yeah, I started my career back in 1989. So as if you can do the math, that's over 30 years, and it's been, it's sometimes it's hard to even hear that from my own mouth, but it has been a great career. I enjoyed getting started in this business, and they say if you last past 5 years, you should be in it for the rest of your life, and that's kind of what happened. I've been with different insurance companies, larger insurance companies, had an independent practice for a while, and just got my wholesaling experience in with several different carriers out there. It's always been in the life, long-term care, disability, and annuity market, but I think we have, there's a lot of carriers that have gone by the wayside. And so it's been fun to see who our carriers are stepping it up and sticking it out. And so I've been with several of those carriers, but I was with a large BD LPL for a while. And just back about 4 years ago, Robert Russo with Independent Advisor Alliance, the CEO there, and I had started Sage Insurance Partners, and we did it first and foremost for the advisors that are underneath the IAA umbrella. And we also had several advisors that were with LPL that decided to do business with us, that were doing business with me before, and we open it up to any independent advisor out there that's interested. It's not really capped at any particular group of advisors. So it's been a fun career so far, but I've told a lot of my counterparts recently that it's the funnest time in my career that I'm having right now. So it's been very enjoyable to get this started and working with Robert and his team.
Yeah, Robert and those folks down there are some of the finest people in the industry, and I say that as genuinely and honestly as I possibly can. There's a lot of jerks in the industry, and there's a lot of people that parade around as good guys. And when you peel the, you know, you pull the curtain back and you see who the real wizard is, they're not quite who they say they are. And Robert is just one of those, and really everybody in their office down there. The more you get to know them, the more you like them, and the more genuine you see they are. So I've been very honored and privileged to get to know them and get to work with them. And so I'll echo that as well. But one of the things when I was there in October, you kind of gave the rundown of how you work with advisors and who you can work with. And when I was an advisor, so I was an advisor for 13 years, I still carry the CFP, even though I don't work with clients anymore. Insurance was never a focus of mine. It was one of these things that I had people, you know, veterans kind of pull me aside and tell me how much money you could make in insurance if you made it a focal point in your practice, and I understood it. I didn't mind bringing it up to clients as part of the review process. You certainly never wanted to have the day where one of your clients comes in at 40 years old and one of them unexpectedly passes away and they ask, you know, what do we need? You know, we don't have any insurance, you know, and it's kind of your fault that they don't have any insurance. You know, I never wanted that, but at the same time, it was always an incidental part of my practice. It was, I would say, over half of the insurance revenue I ever did came from a client calling me and saying, do you sell this? Can right. you help me with that, right? Right? So, and I know I'm not the only one that's that way, and I know there are some that are very focused on insurance, but for me in particular, it was just too much work. I was a market junkie. I liked stocks. I liked, you know, the market and the investments and the retirement planning part, but I couldn't stand reviewing a policy. Policies are, you know, this thick, and a lot of those, they don't teach a lot of those words at East Carolina, so I didn't understand it. So all of that to say, that's one of the cool things that you and your team offer as an extension to advisors, is they're doing that part of the process. If the advisor can obtain the policy from the client and get the information to send along to you, you have your team of insurance junkies, if that's all they do, that can help advisors understand what their clients have.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the thing that's kind of unique about this industry is advisors, they don't like the insurance process because it's so, it's difficult at times. Insurance and simple never go in the same sentence together. So, and we also have that, that Ned Ryerson background. I don't know if you know who Ned Ryerson is, but he was with
Groundhog Day. Absolutely. Yeah. Great Groundhog Day reference there.
Ned Ryerson.
Phil, I sell insurance.
What a shock.
Do you have life insurance? Tell me, have you ever heard of single premium life? Because I think that really could be the ticket for you. What are you doing for dinner?
Something else.
But, you know, we're not all those insurance, I guess, pushy people out there. And insurance can be a vital part of your overall holistic plan. And we provide that. And the problem with that is that there's so many different carriers out there, so many different products, that's why the advisors don't like selling it, because they don't want to look like they don't know what they're talking about. And we are the ones that can support that. There's not every carrier has an appetite for all risks. So we have to know which carrier to go with based off of their medical history. Also, every carrier has a different product portfolio. So we have to know which carrier to go with based off of what their goals and concerns are with their budget and what they really want to accomplish. So there's a lot of insurance policies that have been sold, and not all of them are still the best product for that particular client. So we have done a lot of real good work with our advisors by just reviewing their contracts. We're not out there trying to replace business, but if we do find something or a gap or a product that is not a good fit for them anymore, or there's something that's newer out there, then we'll make that recommendation. And a lot of times it's easier to replace that business and add some riders like the long-term care rider that we'll probably talk about later. But there is it's a real good benefit to be able to us, you know, for the advisor to send me their existing policy and for me to do a review of it and give them some feedback and then maybe some recommendations down the road.
Yeah, you touched on the long-term care rider right there. That's a good segue to a question that you knew I had, or a topic I wanted to talk about. I would say in my advisor career, 60 or 70% of my insurance business came from clients coming to me with questions. I would say at least half or more of that was about long-term care insurance. And that was probably the only aspect of insurance that I ever actively did a campaign on. And I always tell the story. I had a client, actually my very first client that I ever worked with, probably 10 years into the relationship, came to me with and needing some help with an her mother had reached the, you know, sort of the end stages of life, and it was way too late for a long-term care policy. And we had to come in and do some emergency work with an estate planning attorney to try to save what little assets we could. And it worked out, fortunately, just a little bit of good fortune and finding the right attorney. It kind of worked out where she was able to save some of that. But on the back end of that, I went on a huge campaign to make sure that I didn't run into that again with a client coming to me when it was too late to do anything about it. I know a lot of advisors are familiar with the long-term care landscape, but the one in particular that I probably sold the most of in my career was the life insurance policy with that long-term care rider. And it's not, I don't want to say the easiest to sell, but it's just one of those things that when you present it to clients, it just makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the long-term care industry has changed so much since I've been in this business. And I mean, back, you know, 30 years ago, there was probably 25 carriers that did disability and another 20 carriers that did long-term care. You know, now we're down to probably, you know, 10 total. But that's more of your traditional products. The traditional products are the ones that, you know, that have been sold over the past many years. And there's, I guess, the negative characteristics that go along with that are there's no guaranteed premium, there's no cash value, and there's no death benefit. So the industry has kind of moved on, and I think the life with a long-term care product has been one product that has taken over this industry. And I think it's a great product for the reasons that if you got a client that wants to, you know, provide a benefit to their heirs or to their spouse, if they don't need long-term care, then that's the best way to leverage a death benefit. It's also has a cash value component built into it. So it's a real good product. And it's something you can just add on for not a really huge difference in premium. But there's also, what if you kind of backtrack a little bit from that, there's the hybrid products out there that if your goal is not really life insurance and you just want to cover the long-term care need and have cash value, have some sort of death benefit. It's usually more of just a return to premium death benefit as opposed to the life of the long-term care rider. But it is something that will pay a benefit in the event that you can't do two of the six activities of daily living, or you can't, you have some type of cognitive impairment. The inflation protection component is built into the hybrid contracts, and that makes a big difference for somebody that's buying at a younger age and they know they're probably not going to need it for another 20, 25 years, just to keep up with the cost of living. And we know that these costs are going to really go up.
Yeah. And it's, so at this point, when I first started in the industry, there were quite a few carriers offering quite a few long-term care products. You had your traditional long-term care, you had your hybrid, you had the long-term care the life with long-term care riders. And I felt like by the time I sold my practice and kind of stepped away from all of it a little bit, there was a little bit of a consolidation there where fewer and fewer carriers were providing it. Is that still the case, or is it kind of ramped back up? Or how many carriers are active and competitive in these different spaces?
Yeah, I think it's actually ramped up. I mean, a lot of these carriers that have life insurance products and the ones that we mainly sell are the IUL and the VUL and the whole life contracts. You know, there's a few carriers that have an accelerated death benefit option on the term side. But as far as the life of the long-term care riders, most carriers have some type of benefit that they can provide or rider they can provide. Now, I guess the difference is whether you want to go with a reimbursement or an indemnity contract. I think that a lot of our clients are leaning towards the indemnity contract because it pays out a cash benefit if you qualify for care, where the other one, which is still very legitimate, is a reimbursement contract that will just reimburse you for whatever expenses you've had to pay that month. But yeah, most carriers have some type of rider, and, you know, depending on, you know, what your main goal is what we would probably suggest there. But it's like I said, it's taken over the industry compared to where we were before.
I don't know if this is even a question that we'll leave in on the final podcast. We'll see. But in your experience talking to advisors and sort of surveying the industry, how well informed would you say the advisor community is as a whole at the when it comes to the long-term care landscape? I mean, when I first started doing it probably 10, 12, 15 years ago, you really had the three products that you've kind of described, the traditional long-term care, which is kind of use it or lose it. And the big risk with that wasn't to me just what clients seemed to not like about that product in the beginning was if I spend all this money for this policy and I don't end up needing long-term care, then I've wasted it. What I ended up seeing in practice over time was that wasn't the big risk of it. The big risk was because the premium wasn't set in stone, as when they got to the age where they were going to need it, is about the time the insurance company was going to jack up the premium to the point that they couldn't afford it without stripping right. down the benefits. Right. So that was the bigger threat to me on that. That kind of led me to the point where if you can afford it, I was going to strongly and highly recommend that you go with the policy that had some type of guarantee on the back end or a guarantee on the premium. And then you've got the hybrids out there, which I believe, if I'm understanding the same product, these are usually large lump sum premiums up front that you get a guarantee, or you can pay into them over some period of time, but yeah. you're basically just getting your premium back if you don't use it. So at this point, 10, 15 years later, are advisors keeping up with the industry and generally pretty well versed on what's out there, or are we still lagging behind a little bit?
Well, I think the industry is educating advisors on this needs to be part of your holistic plan. You know, they're also seeing clients that have gone through it, that have eaten through most of their assets, that has taken them years and years to collect, or you know, and that's tough. You know, it affects the, you know, what they're going to leave behind for their heirs. And, you know, it can get expensive. I mean, you're looking at an average cost of care, you know, between $7,000 and $8,000 a month right now. And that's going to go up, and you need to have some type of protection against that. And you don't, if you've got, you know, $90,000, $100,000 coming out of your assets on an annual basis, that's going to affect what's going to be left behind for that spouse that maybe doesn't have a long-term care stay and lives a longer life. So that has made the industry look into it a little bit more. But what it also has done, because there's so many different products out there, they're almost scared to dive into it without some type of specialist to be able to help them. And that's where Sage has come into play. We have not only myself has got a lot of experience in this industry, but I've got specialists on my team that can support them on the care planning side and give them a couple of options to look at and then train them on how to do it. And that's what's really been a help in the industry to be able to educate advisors so they can educate their clients. What we do at Sage is we're able to do that, and I can be that specialist, that insurance specialist for the advisor. They don't have to have me in their office. They just have to refer me to their client, and then I handle it from there. And the only thing that the advisor has to do is get licensed with the carrier that we represent.
Yeah, and there's almost two layers of how Sage helps cake, right? There's the first level is the what's appropriate for the client. I would have situations where, you know, a client comes to me with a very basic, you know, we're 40 years old, we just had a child, or we're 35 years old, and we just had a child, and we need insurance protection or whatever the case may be, and it's pretty simple. Go find the cheapest policy, figure out what's good for them. Then you have these other situations that come along where, you know, a 65-year-old who had a medical issue 13 years ago, and you're trying to figure out who the best carrier is for them, or you get into some of that more nuancey, what is the exact best product or best scenario for the client, right. or best product for that situation. And in those situations, Sage comes in as you know the industry better than 95% of advisors probably, and you know what carriers are out, you know, what carriers are going to be easiest to work with these situations, what products are best, et cetera. But even on the more basic ones, there's a huge value in the sense that you just said there's more carriers getting involved in the long-term care space now than there were, you know, several years ago. When I was writing a lot of these policies 8-10 years ago, there was really only one carrier that I really liked that I knew I was going to go to. So when a client came to me with a question, I knew what I was going to sell them. It was just a matter of getting the application filled out. And once in a while in due diligence, I needed to still do my homework and make sure that was still the case. But for the most part, it didn't change for a while. But even when the advisor knows maybe what the product is, Sage still comes in as a, you know who's offering the best opportunity or the best products for a particular case, and it's one-stop shop. They call you and give you the scenario, and you figure, right. You tell them what the answer is.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing that's helpful, is that they know that we're going to be the expert when it comes to which product, which carrier, based off of what their medical history is, based off of their goals and their concerns, based off of their budget. Because there's so many different ways we can go. I mean, if you got the ability to take, you know, $100,000 and lump sum it into a contract, then that's going to get you a little bit more benefit than having to do it $10,000 a year for 10 years. The client needs to pay it for life, it's going to be a lot less, but in the long run, it's going to be a lot less out of pocket. So we have those options. And then you, like I said before, you've got the indemnity reimbursement option that you need to be able to go after whichever the client's looking for. So those are the things that we talk to our advisors about, and they come to us and say, okay, I want you to handle it from here. So what we've done is try to position ourselves as that insurance specialist in the office. The advisor can make the introduction to the client, and they have two options. They can do it themselves, or we can handle it for them. If we handle it for them, we take the application, we do the presentation, we communicate with the client, we do the underwriting, we do the policy deliver when it's ended. We do an 80-20 split with the advisor. And so that's how we're able to position ourselves as the expert, but we're also able to make a little bit of revenue on our side, but give the advisor a full 80% of the compensation without them having to really do more than just refer the client to us.
I was going to say, you just rattled off all the things that you do. I was going to say, what does the advisor do for their 80%?
Well, I mean, you know, it is their client, and they are doing the referral, and it is good. They are going to be the servicing agent on the case, and they're always going to be able to look up the client's information through the particular carrier. But, you know, it is their client. We recognize that. Now, the industry has been, you know, 50-50 when it comes to something like that in the past, or I think the best I've seen is 60-40. So, you know, we just feel like, you know, what we're doing is we're offering a service, and yes, we want to be paid for it, but we feel like the advisor is the one that's bringing the client to the table. So, but if they want to do it themselves and they want 100% of the eligible comp, that's an option too. It's not like a contract you have to sign. It's just a case-by-case basis, whichever route you want to take, and we'll handle it based off of that need.
Yeah, and look, I try to toe the line when with my guests on here. I mean, I want to tell your story and promote you, but at the same time, I don't want it to sound like this is just like a glorified infomercial, right, where we just have you come on and talk about how great you are. But I will just step in here and say, when I was in Charlotte last October and you told your – I did not know that. I mean, I had a good relationship with IAA and knew their story really well, and I knew that they had – a relationship or a division or that handled insurance. But when you stood up there and gave your spiel and you said the advisor can do it themselves and keep 100% of the commission. And I knew that side of the business. I had a relationship like that when I was an advisor, and I would call them up and they would give me the information and give me the products and help me decide what was best for the client. And then we would get to the part that is my reason for not doing a lot of insurance, where I had to do the application and I had to submit it and then resubmit it when I messed things up, and then go. It was a nightmare. So right. The prospect of being able to let somebody else do all of the work and me get 50% wasn't a bad deal for me. I thought that was a pretty good arrangement. When you stood up there and said you would do all the work for an 80% split, or the advisor could do all the work and you get 100%, I don't know if I did it out loud, but I'm laughing to myself thinking, who in the right mind would ever do all the work for an extra 25% of revenue? That makes no sense to me. But that was a huge walk away point for me that day was, holy crap, that's a good deal you guys are offering. But I didn't know at that time that that's that's not a unique relationship to Independent Advisor Alliance. You have a good relationship with Independent Advisor Alliance, and this is a project you started with Robert Russo, who's the founder and CEO over there. But you work with all independent advisors, or I know a large chunk. I don't know if it's all independents, but you have a pretty big audience or market.
Right. I mean, you know, we started off, and my main focus is to work with the advisors of the Independent Advisor Alliance, and we've got a great group of advisors that utilize our services on a daily basis. You know, whether or not there's a sale or not, they just call for expertise or just have a question answered. But we've had a real good, I guess, spot in the industry for those that are not with LPL or not with Independent Advisor Alliance that just have a need to be able to write insurance policy for their client or need a specialist to be able to use for that particular case. And they come to us, and we do the same thing we do with our other advisors. We provide them a specific individualized portal that all they have to do is get registered for it, and they can go online, they can do quotes for themselves, they can check status of any pending cases, they can look up cases that they sold years ago and find out information about there, or they can go directly to the carrier and get that information as well. But we provide all that for the independent advisor, and you know, then we'll give them a regular case status report weekly. If there's a status report that goes out on Monday and something else happens on Tuesday, then they'll get the update. But they can call me directly for any questions that they have about a particular case or about a prospect. And that's what we're there for. I'm the kind of person that if you send in a quote, and I might get in trouble for this because if we get a lot of quotes, then I'll hopefully not have to eat my words, but I get it out before the day's end. If you send it to me at 4 o'clock, then I'm gonna get it to you before I leave the office. And that's just because, mainly because we got so many quote requests coming in, I don't want to forget about it. I want to make sure it's done. And then if there's any follow-up to that, then they'll schedule time on my calendar to be able to go through the details of the quote. We do have a quoting system that we use that compares all permanent products, as well as iPipeline, that compares all term products. It is a very user-friendly portal that the advisors have access to, so they can go online and find out what the option is out there. And if they want to refer it to me to handle it for them, then you know, they just send the client an email with me copying me and introducing me, and then I handle it from there. So it's been a unique 4 years because we've had a lot of interest. And I think that some of the interest has come with, I just need an outlet for insurance. The other has come with, I need an insurance specialist to handle this for me. And that's where we're seeing a lot of the advisors come to us now that's needing that support.
One of the interesting dynamics I was just thinking about as you were talking there is when I was an advisor, my entire career was the zero interest rate decade, right? So, I mean, it was 2.5% 10-year treasury was probably the highest I saw in my entire career. Interest rates have been all over the board for basically since the month that I sold my practice is basically when the market went haywire, and rates have been all over the board. So I'm just curious, especially with the upfront, I guess it's called the hybrid product, where you pay the lump sum and you got basically a guarantee of premium. When I was selling those, there wasn't much of a return of premium. There might have been a 2 or 3% adjustment for a return for some period of time. Have interest rates changed the characteristics or the returns of these products, and or maybe what the premiums are?
Well, I think from our perspective, you know, we like the indexed UL, and the indexed UL has got a, you know, you can there's VUL products out there that are very strong products that are, you know, they're showing some significant returns and have long-term care riders. But, you know, if they lose 10%, then it could affect the overall performance of the contract and what the long-term care benefit may be. So with the indexed UL, you got a floor at zero. And because of that floor, you're going to have a cap, depending on the carrier, anywhere between 9 and 11%. And so we're showing a conservative rate of somewhere in the fives, mid fives, maybe 6%. It's more than likely going to perform better than that. So, but I mean, you're seeing 10 years down the road with a lump sum where they're, if the client wants to take all their money back, they can have it in cash value. There are some, with IULs and any kind of permanent product, there is still surrender charges. But after about 10 to 15 years, you're going to get, be able to get all your money back. So if somebody buys it early, then they can return, you know, pretty much all the premium. And, you know, if they keep it for a long period of time, they're still going to have some significant growth in there in addition to the potential for growth in the death benefit.
Kip, man, it was a real pleasure. Thank you for coming on. For advisors who are out there, this it's a. I want to reiterate that there is a great relationship there with Independent Advisor Alliance, but all independent advisors Kip is available to work with all independent advisors. So anyone who is interested in chatting with him and doing a policy review and getting to know the process a little bit better there at Sage. Kip, how can advisors get a hold of you?
Yeah, I mean, you can reach me. My direct line is 704-397-1640. My email address is kkiser@sageinsurancepartners.com. That's K-K-I-S-E-R at sageinsurancepartners.com. And then you can visit our portal, our website at www.sageinsurancepartners.com. Really just get as much information as you need, and then schedule time on my calendar is very easy to do. But I'd love to hear from anybody. I'd love to hear just feedback from the podcast. You know, if you have any questions about any of the products we talked about, then just give me a call and we can schedule time to go over them in detail later on.
Yeah, and as always, if you're watching on YouTube, all of the contact information that Kip just rattled off will either be on the screen right this second or it'll be down in the description below. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple, any of the other podcast outlets, it'll be in the description. So wherever you're enjoying this conversation from, there is Kip's contact information is on a screen near you. So just scroll around a little bit. It's there. And if I can help in any way, if you'd like me to offer an introduction to Kip. If you have questions for me, questions me and Kip and I may not have addressed, you can give me a call at 919-561-2436 or email me at garrett@theadvisoradvocates.com. I think there are some contact forms also on the advisoradvocates.com website. So I'm here, Kip's here. If we can answer any questions, feel free to give me a call or reach out to Kip directly. Kip, thanks again, man. This was a lot of fun. I was looking forward to it and you didn't disappoint. This was a great time.
Hey, I agree. This has been fun, and I enjoyed the conversation. And Garrett, thank you for inviting me on. Love to do it again if you have the opportunity.
My pleasure, my friend. We'll definitely do it. You have a good rest of your day. See you.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Advisor Advocates podcast. Really appreciate it. If I can't help you in any way, please feel free to give me a call at 919-561-2436. Or send me an email at garrett@theadvisoradvocates.com, or feel free to use my calendar link, which will be listed in the description below. Thanks again for your time. See you next time.